I want to, you know, I just feel there to mention it. When is graduation?
May 4th.
May 4th? May 4th. All right. All right. I know somebody has probably already talked to y'all about, you know, what the class is going to do for Apostle, right? All right. So I just, you know, I just like to make sure that people prepare. One of the things that a lot of times people have a problem with, I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he was telling me about how, you know, whenever it's his Founders Day or whatever and stuff, he was saying that they have to call other churches in to help, you know, to the people to give to him. I said, other churches? I mean, what kind of imparting are you doing to other churches? And he said, well, really not none. I said, well, the church that you service is the people, are the people who supposed to be sowing into your life. And so, you know, he went on to tell me, you know, that it's, you know, it was real bad and that sort of thing and stuff. But a lot of times it's because of a lack of knowledge. As it relates to Apostle has poured into so many people's lives. And, you know, even the school of ministry for years, I graduated in 94 from school of ministry. And I've been coming here ever since. I've been a career student. And so the kind of anointing and, you know, is rare. The revelation knowledge that have come forth from him, there's no way in the world we could do anything to pay him. But all we try to do is honor him in our giving, let him know how much we really appreciate him. And, you know, sometimes there are people who think that, you know, as you know, people put pressure on them to do whatever and stuff. No, pressure only comes on a person when they're not prepared. So when we prepare a seed, when you prepare a seed, then, you know, you feel better about giving it. But if you don't prepare a seed, if you don't prepare it, then when it's time to give, you're going to feel, you know, you're going to feel some kind of way. Because you're going to feel like, you know, well, I don't have it and blah, 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 blah. And then you're going to mess yourself up. You're going to cut yourself out of the blessing that, you know, God really wants to do for you. Watch this. See, whenever the Bible says that he that communicate with us, spiritual things, we're to communicate with them, our physical things. All right. So there has to be a reciprocating. As he pours into us, we have to sow into him. If we are to retain the information, the revelation, the knowledge, to be able to walk in that which he is imparting to us, we're not going to really be able to walk in it. We may have some notes, some information, but we don't really have the revelation to walk in it. And so, it's just the way that God has set up. When you honor a person that's pouring into you, then God in return, he calls that which's been poured into you to cause growth, development, maturity, and everything else. You begin to start, you know, rising up. So I just want to take this opportunity to just really encourage the students, those of you that are online that are graduating this year. I know the first year students, you know, they have something that they're going to do for Apostle. I mean, we've been doing this every year that I've been, you know, part of the school of ministry, wasn't doing it to this level. At one time, what they were doing was, you know, they were getting some of all the instructors and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, well, I think that we need to concentrate on the president and vice president, you know, and making sure that we sown into them, because a lot of times, that was some of the instructors, I'm just being honest, that wasn't sowing into, you know, the founder of the school. And I don't think that's proper. You understand what I'm saying? So I wanted to say that because I want to encourage you to really honor Apostle. We're going to honor Apostle this year, you know, like we do every year. But we just want to take it to another level. Last year, what happened, if you all were here last year, you know, they got up and they, you know, tried to pull the money in during the graduation. Well, Apostle wasn't too comfortable with that. Because, you know, you got people coming from everywhere and stuff, and they don't understand, you know, honor and that kind of thing and stuff. And so I think that the gifts ought to be prepared before we get here so that we can just present it to him. And that sort of thing. All right. So I just wanted to make sure that I made mention that to you. You know, I don't know what the amount was that they asked for or whatever and stuff, but don't get stuck on the amount. Go beyond if that's what God put in your heart. All right. Let's see if we can't wrap up chapter 7. Characteristics of breakthrough believers. We said number one, they move ahead to pioneer a new move of God. Number two, moved under intense pressure to set the pace. Number three, move without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. Number four, moved in progressive revelation to stay relevant. Number five, moved under subjection to spiritual authority. Number six, moved collectively and corporately towards destiny. And number seven, moved with a prevailing mentality to influence the community. All right, so I'm going to go to number three, I think it. I'm going to go here, number three. All right, they moved without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. Now, the breakthrough believers continue to teach and to preach. Now, I'm going the author said one thing, but I'm going to say something else. Breakthrough believers continue to teach and preach what they heard from the apostle in Darrow. All right. All right. The people that I pastor, they understand, they know this. I listen at apostles teaching. I listen at the MP3s. I listen to, you know, the online messages and just really saturate myself in it. And I have one of the ladies at the church. She outlined it, and I preach it. Yeah, I preach what a prophet preach. You understand what I'm saying? And because there's so much that God is trying to do collectively. But, you know, as I mentioned last week, we got so many people trying to be superstars till, you know, there's not enough of we're not going to be able to carry this thing the way God intend for us to if we got our own little thing going. Instead of when God puts somebody in our life to follow, Timothy and them, they did the same thing with Paul. They preached what Paul preached. Paul made a statement about Timothy, say, I don't have no man that's like-minded like me. I mean, what they were being trained, what they were being imparted, what was being imparted to them, then they were sharing it. They wasn't changing it. They wasn't putting their twist to it. They was preaching what they got from the apostle. So they delivered what they received without adulterating or compromising the message of truth. When the truth is lived out before it's delivered, the spirit of life is made flesh and will receive grace upon grace. Before we can preach the word out, we have to, that word has to first become a part of us. That's what meditating has to, meditating has its place where, you know, the word and us become one through meditation, through hearing over and over and that sort of thing. And so we begin to start living it out before, you know, it's even matter of fact, you start walking it out before you even start ministering it. And there's a grace for that. In John 1 and 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 1 and 16 says, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So the only way we can really receive the word, so that once we say it, I'm going to say it again. There may be little sideline nuggets that God may give us, but all of it line up with what we're hearing from apostle. You understand what I'm saying? So that apostle, you know, apostle been ministering on the fear of the Lord and talking about, you know, how we're to honor God, how we're to respect him, we're to stand in awe of God and that sort of thing and stuff. And so, you know, we can't take it and then try to twist it and say that, you know, we ought to be afraid of God, because that's not the fear that he's talking about. You with me? So we have to make sure that we stay with the truth of the word, not try to put a twist on it so that it'll fit society or whatever and stuff, because what God is doing now, I mean, man, it's blowing religion out the water. I mean, just blowing clean out the water. So people receive special grace as they listen to the truth. We are that apostle is important. They're going to receive with grace. See, we there's no way in the world we can really live the word out without the grace of God. The grace of God is not a cover up for sin. The grace of God is an ability that God put on us to be able to walk this word out. There is in the grace of God, it is God's ability that God released on us so that we can be able, so that when we hear the word, we can grasp that word and we can begin to start living that word out. Not in our own ability, like I said, but there's a grace that's carrying us. Y'all with me? So they'll find the ability to practice and apply what they're hearing. Hallelujah. All right. Acts 20 and 32 says, and now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance. The grace of God. We have to rely on the grace of God. Give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified, among those who are set apart. And then Acts 20 and 20 says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house. You know, the church was under a whole lot of persecution, that sort of thing and stuff. But they were still those apostles. They were still preaching boldly. They were trying to anybody who's ever been close enough around apostle. I don't care. You can be in a casual setting or whatever. You're not going to leave there without being imparted to. Apostle could be laughing by something, but he coming right back to the Bible, and he's not going to leave it. I'm telling you, every opportunity that he has, he gets to impart to somebody. He's going to do it. No matter. I don't care if it's if a restaurant attendant is there and stuff. He will stop them from serving and start asking them some questions about their relationship with God, that kind of thing and stuff. And then he'll start sharing a few nuggets with them. I say, my God, man, I mean, but that's apostolic. Now, as pastors, we need to develop a way to continually checking with our leadership whether they are living the standards of truth taught to them. Now, in the church that I pastor, every minister in the church that is not connected to apostle is not recognized as a minister in my church. If they're not trying to be a part of the school of ministry and stay connected to apostle in some sort of way, then they're not recognized as ministers in the house where I pastor. Because leaders ought to have, they ought to be hearing what I hear. They ought to be following who I follow. Because we all have a common goal, but when people have their own agenda and that sort of thing and stuff, then, you know, you have to, Sunday gone, I called all the young people, real young people up in front of the church and share some things with them, because if we don't really get a hold of this generation, this young generation, man, they've got all kind of things now in the school. They got all kind of, I mean, they putting drugs in Rice Krispies and all kind of things and stuff. So Satan is trying to abort this next generation, this generation that's coming, trying to keep them from receiving all that God has us to receive. So that's why the leadership and everybody, we have to be on one accord so that we can be speaking the same thing. I don't know if I ought to say this, but I have a brother and sister who they're Jehovah's Witness. All right. And one thing that they'll do, they may disagree with me about something, but if I tell them that the other one agrees with me about that, they'll agree with me because the other one agreed. They believe in saying the same thing, which is good. See, the thing about it is, I can't understand why in the world we who are filled with the Holy Ghost, got the Word of God, and somebody who don't have what we packing, they can be saying the same thing, and we got our own thing that we're going to say. Well, you know, I know pastor say this here, but this is what the revelation of the Lord gave me. That ain't God. That's not God. That's no way that... But this is the kind of thing that has really hindered the church for a long time. So apostolically, that's why we have to understand government. We have to understand how God has set it up and how God intends for generation after generation to be able to catch a hold of. See, if we don't do it right, the next generation, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. I'm telling you right now, they're not going to get it. See, We can't come to church and just gather together and not have purpose. Because if we don't have purpose, then we don't have, all they doing is just sitting there saying, I mean, why are we here? We don't have, but if they see us fulfilling our kingdom assignment and then we teaching them, we bringing them along with us, then the next generation is going to be powerful. It's going to be powerful. But we have to look what he says. He said that continually checking with our leadership whether they are living the standards of truth taught to them. If not, they could contaminate the flow and perception of the unadulterated truth in the next generation. Next generation, man, going to be all jacked up. Now, I'm going to say this. When I was coming up as a child, I didn't really see many examples of Christ. I saw a whole lot of games being played in the church. And I had, matter of fact, it's really what kept me from coming to Christ for a long time, because I saw games. I saw the preachers. I saw the deacons. I saw the ushers. I saw all kind of games being played in the church. And so, when you come into Christianity, you think that this is the way that it's supposed to go. You think that, you know, you can just, you don't have to be truthful. You can just lie and, you know, well, the Lord forgive me. You know, because that's the kind of perception that they wasn't really walking in nothing. You know what I'm saying? So brother so-and-so running with sister so-and-so. And both of them got leadership positions and stuff, but it wasn't no big deal. And Rev couldn't preach about sin, because if he did, they were going to expose him. So he had to just keep everything down and just kind of go along with the program. So we came through that kind of era where when God is trying to now get us in order and get us to the place to where we're really following the pattern that he's already put in place. See, watch this. When Jesus was here, Jesus was always talking about the Father. He was always talking about, you know, I'm not doing what I'm doing. Jesus was really showing us how to walk in sonship. He was showing us how to walk in sonship. And not just sonship with God the Father, but sonship with a spiritual father. He was teaching. That's what he was doing. He was training us how to respect the person who was leading us. That's what he was doing. All right. Remember. Okay. Watch this. Jesus never. He didn't perform any miracles until after that announcement was made. After that dove came down on him and the voice of God spoke and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So Jesus' ministry didn't start until he was approved by the Father. So many people now start out in ministry. They say, well, God sent me. God may have sent you, but God will put you in a place under a spiritual father so that he gonna know when it's time for you to go out. Some were sent and some just went. Some not going to hear a spiritual father saying, no, it's not time yet. You know, because they feel like, you know, oh, I'm ready to go. I got this anointing on my life. The reason the anointing is on your life because you're in the house you're in. You didn't come here with no private anointing. You know what I'm saying? You come here with no personal anointing. I mean, everybody has, God has placed an anointing on them, but he put them in a vineyard, in a place with somebody who's with a greater anointing that's supposed to pour into them. So, But watch this. We don't want the next generation to receive genetically modified spiritual food because the investment and hope we are building toward the future will come crashing down. Breakthrough believers are trustworthy and they will live out the truth and deliver it as they have received it of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Number four. They move in progressive revelation to stay relevant. Breakthrough believers have the ability to move in progressive revelation in order to bring fresh update and present truth to keep the church relevant in the now. Excuse me. You know, there's times when people still living off a 30-year-old revelation. And revelation is always supposed to be progressive. In other words, God may give a revelation, but then that revelation, you have to walk as far in it as you can, but you can't go no further than the revelation. Then God give you the next step. It's always progressive. It's always, God never, that's why we can't let denomination, we can't let tradition of men or anything like that stop us from receiving progressive revelation from God. Because I remember the church I was in, it was all in the Bible about being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues and that kind of thing and stuff. But we did not turn to those scriptures. That scripture wasn't for our denomination. It was for, you know, that had went out with the early church. That's what we were taught. And we got filled with the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church. And, man, we speaking in tongues and stuff. And, I mean, it was, and people looked at us like we had AIDS in a Baptist church. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, tongues wasn't for the Pentecost, it was for the church. It wasn't for a special group of people. It was for the church. You understand what I'm saying? So at that time, we didn't have a revelation of it. But then God started, when people started getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and then people began to start, you know, they start having visions and dreams and that sort of thing and stuff. The church started moving. They moved from that dead place, and all of a sudden, man, I mean, the church became alive. But it was because of progressive revelation. God, one step at a time, as the people began to walk in the revelation that God had given, then God would give them fresh revelation. would begin to see. And that's why it's so important to have a spiritual leader, because let's just say God. I know people may not agree with this, but this is the truth of God. If I feel like God has given me a revelation, well, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to check with apostle. I'm not going preaching nothing. You know, I ain't heard apostle preach, but I got this fresh revelation that God has given me. I want to make sure that the covering, my spiritual covering, if I share this with him, I have to be sure that what I'm saying is in line with what God is saying to him. I'm telling you, see, this is what the church has lacked. This is what the church has lacked for so long. They've lacked, there has to be correction. There has to be somebody that's in your life that that you can submit to, that if they tell you, okay, no, that's not God. You know, you're not all tore up, messed up and stuff. I just put this on the shelf. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not preaching this. I'm not going to go somewhere, you know, pastor don't know about it, and I'm ministering, and then I say, well, pastor ain't going to know about this. I'm going to go ahead and preach this revelation out. No, God can't bless it. He cannot bless it. He can't bless it. So this distinctive quality of breakthrough believers is the ingredient that allowed the revival of the Holy Spirit to spread quickly across the Roman Empire. They became very perceptive to the progressive revelation, not just to the fresh moves of the Holy Spirit, but also to restorative truths. And the Holy Spirit is doing, restoring a whole lot of truth, a whole lot of things that God is doing now. It's not new. It may be new to us, but it's not new to God. God's been doing it. God has been in somewhere, and we wouldn't dare think that we are the only ones who God is dealing with. No, you can never know. God's dealing with other folk. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, I believe in LTMA, organization that God has given apostle. Man, we're seeing a change in churches. Like, I mean, it's phenomenal what God is doing. It is just absolutely phenomenal. I'm talking about we're seeing churches churches change, the culture in the churches change. I mean, and folk are really taking heed to government. Because for a long time, the church ain't pay no attention to no government. Man, you know, we just do what we want to do. Blessed is the pastor who has believers in his church who attentively listen, to God's voice in their daily life. Boys, a pastor can really appreciate people that he pastor that really know how to hear the voice of God. It's not as hard when the people know the voice of God. When the people see, apostle always say this, I want to train you where you can hear the voice of God. You know the voice of God, that even if I was trying to trick you in some kind of way, you wouldn't be tricked, because you know God. You know God. You know the voice of God. And it's always, that's why it's always, we're always trying to get people in a position where they depend on God. They depend on God. They're not dependent on the pastor. They're not depending on apostle when something is going on. Apostle go out of town and stuff, and then you have to, I can't wait till apostle get back. No. Apostle, I taught you how to believe for yourself. I taught you how to trust God for yourself. And so with that, you know, we can, no matter what kind of jam we get in, we can come out. We come out of any kind of, what God is doing and what breakthrough believes that God is raising up. Man, I'm telling you, there ain't gonna be nothing that's gonna be able to discourage us. No, nothing. I mean, the challenges and all that kind of thing gonna come, but it's not gonna move us at all. I thought I could get amen with that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. It creates meaningful sense of destiny among the people. The sheep are hearing the voice of the shepherd, and all the lambs follow as they observe the sheep following the shepherd without any conflict or any inner struggle. Breakthrough believers are able to hear, identify, and wholly respond to God's voice as it flows through his leadership. My God, isn't that something? One of the things that, with apostle teaching on the fear of the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, the only way you can really respect and submit to authority, you're going to have to understand the fear of the Lord. You're going to have to understand it. You with me? All right. See, watch this. There was pastors that I've known for years and stuff, but they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand how in the world can you just be submitted to a man and like this and stuff. You know, a pastor can call me 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do whatever he needs done. I'm going 2 o'clock in the morning. Ain't no certain time that he can call me. Say, well, you know, I'm in here. And say, no. Where are you? And how soon you need me to be there? Yeah, but you've been up all night and stuff already, you know, and stuff. See, God gives you the grace when your heart is right toward leadership, God will give you the grace to be able to do whatever's necessary to make their job easy. God, oh God. To make their job easy. Whatever I can do. Listen to me. I started finishing concrete at the age of 13 years old. Every summer when I got out of school, my daddy took me out finishing concrete and that kind of thing and stuff. And so when I got old enough, where I got on my own and I had a family and stuff, I preached. I said, man, my daddy taught me a trade where I could take care of my family. You know what I found out? I found out that my daddy really didn't teach me that trade so that I could take care of my family. My daddy taught me that trade. God had my daddy teach me that trade so that when a pastor needed my talent and my gift, then I would be available to do it. See, a lot of times you may have gone to college. You think that this is why you went, because, you know, you had to make a certain amount of money to accomplish the thing that you want to accomplish or whatever and stuff. But God did that so that you could assist in the service in which he has given to that leader that he's placed you under. Oh, I'm telling you, this is the truth of God, man. But a lot of people don't recognize. They say, well, you know, let me go a little further because I got 6 minutes because I want to hit a certain thing here. Let's see. Okay. They move collectively and corporately towards destiny. Breakthrough believers have the ability to move collectively and corporately as the church by true commitment and loyalty to leadership. True commitment and loyalty to leadership. I have always looked like the oddball because Apostle got some concrete to pour. I'll be pouring it for him tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, guess what? It's not gonna cost him a dime. Not one dime. It's not gonna cost him. Let me see if I can. I'm gonna show you something. All right. You know, I've been accused of all kind of things. People accuse me, you know, brown nosing and all kind of stuff. It don't make me no difference. I don't care about what nobody thinks. All right. I know I got assignment from God. You understand? And so I believe that a person The way that you can tell if a person has made a man or woman their God is that when they rely on that person as their source. Watch this. All right. I don't care what kind of jam I could get in. Apostle would never know it. I would never voice it to him. The only way he would know that I got in something if I testify how God brought me out. And the reason why I would never go to him, because he's not my source. See, this is what this is how people get it mixed up. A person, when people go to talking, you know, hey, you're like you worship a man. No, I don't. I know I worship. I worship God. But because I'm so in love with God, apostle get the overflow of my love relationship. And so whatever my loyalty to God is, my loyalty to him is a result of my loyalty to God. Amen. You with me? And so I would never look for him. I mean, apostle's a millionaire, right? I would never. I don't care what kind of jam I got in. I would never go to apostle and say, apostle, you know, I'm in a little jam. Because now he's become my source. And you can never let anybody become your source but God. Because God will always come through. He's going to always do exactly what he said he's going to do. So I'm reading this again. Breakthrough believers have the ability to move collectively and corporately as a church by true commitment and loyalty to leadership toward the common destiny assigned to us by God. Most believers act as individuals with a personal agenda in life who are only in church to fulfill their religious obligation on Sunday services. You know, once they lead a church, and then they're going in a whole nother direction. So most believers who have not been renewed in their thinking by kingdom paradigm use the church to nourish and strengthen themselves so that they can perform well in the world system. I'm all prayed up, fired up, and spiritually equipped so that I can do well as a believer in my job, school, and business. This prevailing mindset caused them to prioritize the activities in the world and their remaining time to be left for the church and its activities. Oh, my God. To live for the kingdom is still a foreign thought and concept to the majority of believers. I'm going to say this again. To live for the kingdom is still a foreign thought and concept to a majority of believers. Because, and this is the thing, we always got this thing where God understands that I got this to do. I got that to do. I got that. No. Jesus said that when they went looking for him, they said, you know, your mom and them and all them people are there. Jesus said, don't y'all know? Say we've been looking for you. So he said, you know, I'm here to do my father's business. I'm on business here. I got kingdom business. But a lot of church folk will not see the kingdom. The kingdom gonna come later. They got other things for you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when we go after the things instead of the kingdom, then we're going to struggle in life. But when we go after the kingdom, you can't go after the kingdom without going after the king. You got to go after God. When you go after God, that's one of the things, one of the most powerful thing that I've learned from apostle is how to go after God with everything that's in me. Hallelujah. I mean, listen to me. Once you learn how to go after God and make him your priority, everything else, God's going to make sure that, you know, the house, the car, every other thing that you need. And my time is up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Y'all don't forget. The